This morning, I have my first guest, Tina Leonard, Head of Advocacy and Public Affairs of the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Olga. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You're welcome
Good.
To Lifeline.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, Tina, I'm just wondering, you see, many people usually get confused with Alzheimer and dementia. They think they are both the same thing. So could you just kind of give us a brief explanation of the difference between the two of them?
Absolutely. Well, dementia is the term that we use as an umbrella term. So dementia is a collective name for lots of different types of illnesses that cause cognitive impairment. And Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia.
Okay.
So Alzheimer's, so someone might say they have dementia, but that could be Alzheimer's. It could be vascular dementia. It could be Lewy bodies. There's lots of different types of dementia, and Alzheimer's is the most common. But in all of them, there's cognitive impairment, and it means that it limits somebody's ability to perform day-to-day functions. There's memory affected and other things affected as well.
Okay. So some Alzheimer's sufferers are often aggressive. I'm just wondering, what causes this aggression and how can a carer deal with the aggressive behavior?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to say that the how Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia manifest in each individual person is different. So the progression for each person is going to be different. There are going to be different types of, different symptoms and different behaviours in each person. And I think that's important to say that there isn't, one thing that fits all or one picture that suits absolutely everybody.
Okay.
So you mentioned aggression there. Mm-hmm. And yes, that can be, as the disease progresses, then it can be the situation that some people show some aggression. Other people might use appropriate language, but other people might not. So it very much depends on the person. And remember, of course, that the person's personality is still there. The person is still themselves. But how this illness affects them is going to be different in each situation. But if somebody is having, if a family member is looking after a loved one who has some form of dementia, then I would say the most important thing is for that person to get support. So that the family member is able to look after their own health and therefore support as best they can their loved one who has Alzheimer's or dementia. So what sort of supports are out there? If we talk about what we do at the Alzheimer's Society, for example, for carers, we have carer training programs. We also have carer support groups, and that's important because carers can come together on their own, family carers, and talk to each other and support each other. But it's also linking in with things that support the person with the diagnosis. So, for example, we have Alzheimer's cafes and social clubs around the country as well.
Okay.
Now, carers can come to those as well, and that's an opportunity for the person with dementia and the family member or loved one to be there in an environment where everybody's in the same boat and can talk to each other and learn and enjoy themselves. So that's very important. And of course, to give the carer some time to do things for themselves in their own life if they have a home care or if they can go to one of our daycare centres. If the person with dementia can go to one of our home care or daycare centres, then it means that it gives some time to the person at home, to themselves, or to do whatever they need to do. So all of those supports are important. And of course, if there's ever any worry, people should link in with their GP or consultant, who whatever medical person it is that they're dealing with. I should also say that we have a helpline, and it's open Monday to Saturday. And the number is 1800-341-341. And we have wonderfully experienced people manning that helpline. And if somebody is worried, maybe they're worried about their own health or a loved one's health, or maybe, as in the situation you outline, it's somebody at home and they're not sure how to handle a particular situation, that's another source of support. Somebody can call that line and get some support, or else be signposted to somebody else or somebody somewhere else where that support is there. So I think, you know, when there's any illness in the family, there's always going to be stressful situations and difficulties. So it's about knowing what sort of support structures are in there to help everybody.
Okay. And, you know, like sometimes people or maybe loved ones, they have a lot of emotions, especially when they see someone they love go down the hill.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends that maybe their grandmother has Alzheimer's and then their grandmother doesn't even notice or know who they are anymore. And that's kind of the first impact is like a shock to them.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes.
Or maybe calling the husband someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. Is that something, I guess that's something you people have encountered and are dealing with as well.
Yes, and of course that's really upsetting. And you mentioned that you know some people whose families have been affected by dementia, and I think you know, almost all of us do know somebody because there's actually 48,000 people in Ireland who have dementia. There's 50,000 family carers, so that's an awful lot of people. And the majority of people with dementia, by the way, live in the community. 63% live in the community, so not, you know, not in nursing homes, but in the community. And that means that there are families living with dementia all around us, wherever we are. So it's important for us all to support people and to recognise that people are going through difficulties. I mean, what you mentioned about somebody not recognising a loved one, obviously that's a reality. But what I should say as well is that Alzheimer's or dementia, it's a progressive illness, and that means that at the start it isn't as bad as later on. And nowadays people are being diagnosed in a more timely way, and by that I mean that somebody people are being diagnosed earlier on into the progression. And it means that we have an awful lot of people who have a diagnosis of dementia who are living well. Yes, there are some changes in terms of their ability to perform some day-to-day functions, but can very, you know, live well with some strategies, sometimes with medication, it works in some cases, and with other supports, and live well in the community. And I think the common perception is of somebody who's very old and maybe, you know, incapable living in a home. And that is a reality, but it's really only one part of the picture. There's a much bigger picture when it comes to dementia. You know, long ago, people weren't diagnosed. You know, there was no cure. There still isn't. But often it was thought that, you know, what's the point? Or, you know, people, because there is a fear and a stigma around this, people wouldn't go to seek help either. So there's different reasons why people weren't diagnosed in a timely way previously. But it's good news that people are now, because it means that when somebody has a diagnosis with the proper supports, you know, progression can be delayed in some instances, and people can live well for longer. And that's very important, so that if somebody is worried, that they do something about it, rather than wait thinking there's nothing that can be done. There is, because, you know, with, as I said, medication works in about a third of cases. It can stop progression, halt progression for a while. But other therapies, even strategies such as writing things down, having signs around the house to remind you of different things. Also things like cognitive behavioural therapy, cognitive stimulation therapy. All of these things can help somebody live well. So it is important for people to know that that's a reality. But of course, because there isn't yet a cure, this is an illness that progresses. And so there will come a time when the person isn't able to live as well as they once were. So that is a reality as well. And the age thing, I mentioned that, you know, the perception is of someone very old. You know, I mentioned there were 48,000 people in Ireland. 4,000 people are under the age of 65.
Wow.
So there's younger people who are diagnosed with dementia too. And then you have an impact on younger families, on somebody who may have to leave a workplace, you know, not necessarily immediately, but some years after diagnosis or whatever. So it's a much more complex picture than I think the traditional perception is. and it, you know, and there's an awful lot of people affected by it. So it's up to us all. You know, we have the supports I mentioned in our society, the Alzheimer's Society, but we as a community all have to be aware of that and know that, you know, that there are so many people living in our community that may have challenges in this way. And so if someone's going into the shop and they can't count their change, or maybe somebody's in the bank and is not 100% sure where the card goes in the ATM, there's that confusion there, that we can be patient and show that person how to count the change or use the ATM machine, rather than getting frustrated. And that is us playing our bit in allowing someone to live well in the community for longer, you know.
Okay.
So there's a lot. There's a lot to talk about.
Okay. So now, from what you're saying, just like other illnesses, it's important detection is important, like to get an early diagnosis, that's important.
It is. It really does, because getting an early diagnosis means that you can access appropriate treatments and also services and supports. And importantly, you can plan legal and financial affairs, you know, so that the person themselves can decide what's going to happen when they no longer are in a position to make a decision. You know, so it isn't the family making decisions, but the planning happens earlier on when the capability is still there. And it's making decisions about the future as well as legal and financial affairs. So early diagnosis really does matter. And that's why going to your GP as a first start is a good idea if somebody feels they're worried. And it's also important to say that, you know, there are many reasons for forgetfulness and confusion other than dementia. You know, sometimes with anxiety and stress, maybe following a bereavement, you know, depression, some infections, even the side effects of some medications, vitamin deficiency. You know, there are lots of different reasons why someone might have a temporary memory issue.
Okay.
So if somebody is concerned, you know, that might be an issue, or it might be something more. But the key thing is to go to your doctor and see, you know, and the doctor will refer you if needs be and talk to you about any changes that you've noticed in your situation. I think people know themselves if something is changing. And our advice would be to note the changes and go to the GP. It might not be anything to do with dementia, but if it is, know that it's an early diagnosis is going to be much better for you and your family, because you'll be able to access the best treatments and plan ahead and live well for longer.
Yeah. So talking about worry, some people do worry that maybe if their grandparents or their grandmother or their father or a member of their family has Alzheimer, that they might have it. So is it hereditary?
I suppose the best answer I think to give is that we're not 100% sure exactly what causes. So what causes dementia? Excuse me, Olga.
That's okay.
So I think if there's no need for somebody to worry unduly because it's in the family. I mean, there are lots of other risk factors. For example, smoking, too much alcohol, an unhealthy heart. I mean, it's actually the same. All the messages about staying healthy that we get are the same for, you know, when you have a healthy body, then it contributes to having a healthy brain.
Exactly.
So our messages would be to keep your brain active, but also your body. So to stay healthy, you know, and that's in terms of diet and exercise and not smoking or drinking too much and so on. There have been so many studies proving that, you know, that has an impact on keeping your brain well. So that's important. So there's lots of different risk factors, and some we can control, such as having a healthy lifestyle. And of course, the good news is that having a healthy lifestyle impacts on so many other physical and mental areas. So it's a win-win situation. Mm. But nonetheless, I would say to someone, if they're concerned about themselves or if they're concerned about a loved one, to visit their doctor, number one, and call our helpline.
Okay.
To talk to someone who understands as well, or indeed log on to our website, which is alzheimer.ie.
Okay. Then tell me about this new national dementia strategy. I know you've worked quite hard at seeing the implementation of this strategy.
Well, this is a good news story. Currently, Ireland does not have a strategic approach to managing the healthcare of dementia. So there's no pathway of care for people, and that's an issue. That's a problem. Other countries have national dementia strategies, and we've been waiting for ours. So in the programme for government, the current government promised a national dementia strategy by last year. Now, that didn't happen, but we and other stakeholder organisations have been working with the government on developing a strategy. It was approved by the cabinet this week, and the plan, we hope it will now be launched before Christmas. So that means for the very first time, we will have a national dementia strategy. It's not the be-all and end-all, and it's not the end of the journey, but it's a first step. It's a first step where we can say, okay, now there's some sort of plan there on paper as to how we will support somebody with a dementia diagnosis and their family members, you know, to live well. And through the, from diagnosis and GP and primary care, through hospitals and end of life. So there's some priority areas that there will be funding for, a big public awareness campaign, a training for GPs, and that's important in terms of linking into what we spoke about, the early diagnosis. And then there will also be financial support for more home care interventions to enable people to live better in the community. So there's certainly money put aside for those three priority areas, but there's a lot of other priority areas that, and obviously we'll be looking at that and watching that as time goes on to see what happens with those.
Okay. Oh, that's great, you know, because sometimes, and I guess your organization, you rely so much on fundraising as well, you do.
We do, absolutely. Some of our the funds we get from the HSE in order to deliver home care, for example. But in terms of we really need to raise money to enable us to deliver all the services that we do deliver. In addition, you know, our daycare centres, a dementia advisor service, social clubs, Alzheimer cafes, the training and support for carers that I mentioned earlier. We have a wonderful network of branches around the country, and they raise money. And in fact, if I could mention, Olga, as well, at the moment we have a memory ribbon campaign, and it's a fundraising campaign for Christmas. The website is memoryribbon.ie, and the idea is that if you go onto that website, you can share, you can post and share a memory of your loved one. Could be somebody who is in your life now, or somebody who was in your life and has since died. But it's you sharing a memory of the loved one, and by doing so, you're donating €4 to the Alzheimer's Society as well. So that's memoryribbon.ie. And I suppose part of that idea of sharing is also to try and bring the whole issue of dementia out of the shadows, you know, and break down stigma a little bit so people aren't afraid to name it and to talk about it, because it's very real here in all our communities. So that's important that we face up to it. You know, I mentioned the 48,000 people in Ireland today. That's set to treble in a generation. So there's an awful lot of people who are and will be affected by this. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, Olga, hi.
Yeah. You know, so I'm just wondering, you see, sometimes you talked about brain being active, keeping your brain active. What can people actually do to keep their brain active? Like, are there exercises you can do to keep your brain active?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's, you know, the typical things that you think of, like crosswords, like reading, like learning something new, learning a language, you know, not challenging your brain. Exercising your brain is the best way to describe it, just in the same way that you exercise your body, you know, exercising the brain. And there's a wonderful app for any listeners who have smartphones and use apps. There's a wonderful app that Trinity College have produced recently called Hello Brain, and there's a website, Hello Brain, that goes with that, and that has all sorts of tips and exercise ideas, and you log what sort of things you did for your brain today, you know, each day. So it is about learning new things, about challenging your brain by that learning or challenging it to answer questions such as in crosswords. But it's also very good for brain health if you engage with people and you're involved. You know, it's that social aspect. It's, you know, and that's why when someone has dementia, staying involved in the community and getting involved is really important, not just staying at home and feeling miserable, but getting involved with other people. So brain health is also about, meeting your friends and having a coffee and socialising and engaging with community groups. That's all very important for brain health as well.
Okay. Then can controlling certain diseases protect against Alzheimer's?
Can controlling second diseases protect
certain diseases?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, well, I suppose that links into the to what we were saying before, that like staying healthy is very important for protecting yourself. It not saying that if you're totally, like, we can't say that if you lead the healthiest lifestyle ever and you have a wonderful diet and lots of physical fitness and so on, that you're not going to get some form of dementia. But it's certainly shown that by doing all of that, you can limit your chances. So if you have a healthy heart, that's going to increase your chances of having a healthy brain. So in that way, there isn't everything impacts on everything else, doesn't it? The physical and the mental, if we take the holistic approach. So a healthy heart is going to assist you. So it's important to look at, I suppose, your own health in that rounded way, and knowing that staying healthy physically not only is going to help you against any potential physical ailments, but also against any mental ones.
Okay. Then, talking about the weather, like today when I was driving to work, the weather forecast is saying that this weekend is going to be orange. I don't know what that means, but from what I gather, it's like it's going to be really freezing, that they are predicting that the Christmas period is going to be quite windy and cold. So do you have any tips for home carers out there, that have family members suffering from dementia, what they should do, special things they can do this cold season?
Well, I mean, if things get really cold, I suppose it's the same advice for anybody, to make sure that, I suppose the main thing is that if somebody lives on their own, that a family member or neighbour would drop in to make sure that, that the person is warm enough, the house is warm enough, that there's food in. And that's that could be a neighbour, could be community responsibility, or it could be a loved one. I think, when you talk about somebody living on their own, whether that's an elderly person or somebody with dementia living on their own, it's in a cold spell where somebody's not as likely to leave the house, then it is important that we all look out for that person. That's probably the most important thing, I think, if we're coming into winter and anticipating colder weather.
Okay. Thank you so much for being my guest today, Tina.
Thank you. My pleasure, Olga. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. And if anybody has more queries, they can call the Alzheimer National Free and Confidential Helpline on 1-800-341-341, which is open Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I guess they can also email helpline@alzheimer.ie or visit your website www.alzheimer.ie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for giving all of those details.
Okay.
It's been lovely to talk to you, Olga.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.